Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Robert Forto, and you're listening to Try Alive here on Blog Talk Radio. And I am joined by my co-host. Her name is Casey Randall. She's calling in from Anchorage, Alaska. Casey, how's it going?
It's going good. Good morning, Robert. I'm just looking out my window, and I see sunshine, and it's spring, and everyone's just gaining all this energy. So are you feeling that way, too?
I am feeling the groove. You know, it's beautiful up here this morning in Willow. We've had blue skies for the last week or so. We just finished our last mushing runs of the season this past weekend. I had a friend come out from New York City that I taught how to be a real musher. He runs sled dogs in Central Park, and he said he wanted to come up and learn how it was really done. So he had an excellent time, and boy, it's been a very busy winter and early spring for us, and I'm glad to have a little bit of downtime.
That's funny. Usually it's, you know, now where that is your busy time, so you're kind of a little bit reversed. You're right. But, oh, my gosh, for your friend to come here, that must have been quite the experience different from New York to be here in Alaska.
Yeah, everything he did was a brand new experience. He hadn't been on a plane since he was an infant, and he and his family are from Africa, and they immigrated over here when he was really young. So he had never been really out of the city, so he was truly a fish out of water up here in Alaska. And of course, I took him to all the sites. We went to the Moose's Tooth and the 49th Brewery, and you know, and I did a ride headquarters and all of that. But we had a great weekend. We got out on the sleds three times, did about 25 miles or so, and I think he left a little bit more experienced than when he started.
Well, yeah. So is he ready to move up, or was he excited to get back home to his own dog too?
He was already asking about being a handler next year, so I guess that's what happened.
Doesn't that happen? Most people who come here have some sort of story, obviously, how they came on a trip and then they stayed, they never went home, or, you know, like me, I came up for school and thought, oh, I'll be here 2 years, and 17 years later, I have no plans on ever leaving. It's just Alaska, it's either a few and you want to stay, or people run away screaming.
Yeah, I totally agree there. So, you know, we haven't been on the air for a couple of weeks now. I went over to Hawaii to enjoy some sunshine. I was going to do Lava Man, but I sort of chickened out at the last minute. I was really intimidated by the swim and by just about everything over there. I just wasn't ready, but we had a great adventure and truly enjoyed ourselves. But now we're back and ready to tackle something new.
Right. Well, and oh my gosh, I love seeing your pictures from Hawaii, because it looks like you and Michelle just had a great time. So race or no race, I mean, you learned a lot in that journey, and you'll take all those experiences with you. And I mean, are you going to go back to Hawaii someday? Did you love it that much?
You know, we try to go back every couple of years. We wait on some really cheap tickets to pop up. We have some type of deal on our computer where it sends you over really cheap tickets when they come out. So if we see them and we have the cash, we buy them, and then we plan our trip around that. But yeah, we'll get back sometime, maybe do Lava Man, maybe an announcement coming up in the future. Always looking forward to new adventures for sure. But speaking of airlines, you have an update from our ladies that you had on a couple of weeks ago, a month or so ago, is that right?
Right, and we definitely need to have them back on here sometime soon. But you know what? It is just so awesome to hear that they are both doing great. I know we gave an update a couple weeks ago, said they, you know, they had just had the surgery. They just celebrated their 1 month, and this is where Jody Harskamp, who is a captain at Alaska Airlines, sorry, she donated her kidney to Jenny Stanzel, and Jenny is a flight attendant at Alaska Airlines. And you know what? I just got word yesterday that they're both doing great. I mean, they're both out enjoying, you know, hiking and just getting out with friends and family. And then Jody's actually traveling. She's just traveling the world right now. But Jenny is doing better than, I don't know if it's just any transplant patient, but it is going way better than anything that was hoped or expected. And she looks great, has tons of energy. She's spreading the Be Alive message everywhere. And it's just such a great feeling to know that it went so well. And those girls, they just knew it, you know. They were positive from the beginning and said that we're going to rock it, and that's what they're doing.
You know, that is awesome for sure. You know, Casey, I'm in school as a midlifer, and it's always interesting story in of itself, but I'm also taking an anatomy class right now, and right as we speak, we're studying the, you know, the kidney and the urinary system, that whole system down there, and what a complex system that is. Your whole body is regulated by those two little fist-sized, bean-shaped organs, and I can't just imagine what it would take to give one of those up, and what a selfless act of giving to be able to do something like that. Because as you know, we only have two, and you know, what an amazing story that is, and what a great job that those guys are doing, not only for themselves, but to promote organ donation and everything that goes along with it.
Right. And Jody, who was the donor, her message too is share your spare. So she's getting that out there to people that, hey, you do have two kidneys. And of course that isn't for everyone to do, but if someone feels motivated and inspired to do it, there are people out there who need a kidney. And I mean, for Jody to see the life that she has given Jenny and the freedom and what she's able to do, it's just amazing. And those women were filmed throughout this whole process, right there in the surgery room, on the way to the hospital afterwards. And it's actually, they have a show called Amazing Humans, and it is going to be, it's going to air this Saturday. I don't know the time, and I don't know the channel. I know it's with the BBC. Jenny's going to get me the information, and I will post that on the Be Alive Facebook page, but they have a documentary that they did, and so that will be for the world to see. I'm really excited to watch it. And I also wanted to mention that, speaking of more amazing things that these ladies are doing, Jody had put her name in for Mount Marathon, which, okay, that sounds crazy, right? Because here she had to register or sign up for the lottery before the surgery, didn't know how everything was going to go. Well, her name got drawn, and she is actually cleared by her doctors to do the race. So she plans to be down in Seward on July 4th for Mount Marathon. And we're excited because we're planning her outfit, and she wants Be Alive leggings. She wants a Be Alive shirt. She wants on the back to have information for everyone to see about kidney transplant. So we're really excited to go down there and cheer her on for that race.
That is awesome for sure. And, you know, we talked about the Mount Marathon earlier this winter, and just what an amazing race that is, how difficult it is, and the process to get in with the crazy lottery and all that. Did you happen to sign up yourself, and did you get in?
I did sign up, and you know what? I thought I would get in this year because when I signed up last year, each year that you sign up, you get weighted, so you get another chance. So like this year I had two times the chances to get in. I did not get in, which at first I was like, oh, this is a blessing because I am not in shape to run the race. And then a bunch of friends, you know, are like, you need to be on that mountain. We need to go down to the auction and get you in. And I'm going, no, you guys, I am totally not in shape for this. But now they've got me all motivated, so I'm going to work on getting in shape, and we'll see when the auction comes around. Perhaps Jody is like, I want you to run with me, but we'll see. I'm at least going to be down there cheering, and it motivates me to work out and climb like maybe I will be doing it.
Excellent, for sure. You know, speaking of climbing, let's jump over to our topic for today. We're going to talk about a pretty inspirational dude for sure. His name is Dr. Larry Doherty. He is lives right here in Alaska. He is an Iditarod finisher. He's also a mountaineer. He's climbed several of the highest peaks in the world, and he's getting ready to attempt Mount Everest, both doing the Iditarod and Mount Everest in the same year. And just a little perspective, folks, there have been way more people that have climbed Everest than have ever finished Iditarod. So this is an amazing feat in of itself, but to do it in the same year is absolutely astonishing. And I'm looking forward to talking a little bit about Larry Doherty. I know you posted an article on your Be Alive page. I guess it was this morning or last night. I saw it this morning and did a quick read through. What do you know about Larry? Because you guys have sort of the same connection. You have the cancer thing. You have everything that's going on is related to what we talk about, isn't it?
Right. I mean, I've been following this guy, and you know what? I've never met Larry, and I need to. I mean, I'm sure there's lots of people out there who want to meet him and be inspired by him, but I do look forward to and hope to meet him, you know, soon after he gets back from this great trip. But yes, I mean, here he is, a radiation oncologist. That's such a great thing that he does. Obviously, he's helping people every day. I'm sure his patients just love him because his excitement for life is just, you can't miss it, obviously. And then here he goes and does the Iditarod, and then, you know, he's taking the prayer flags up for his cancer patients, and wow. I mean, he's blowing me away, and it's just awesome. And he's been on your show
awesome.
A couple times, right? You've had him on a different show a couple times, and I don't know, maybe we can get him to come on this one once, because he's obviously, whether he knows it or not, he is spreading the message to Be Alive loud and clear.
Right. Yeah, he has been on our sister show here on the same network, our Mushing Radio show, twice. I had him on once right after he finished his first Iditarod. Then I had him on, I guess it was sometime last spring. I had he and his son on. He has a young teenage son, and they were heading over to Africa to hike Kilimanjaro. And what an inspiration that little guy was when he talked to his dad about, you know, that amazing feat of traveling over to Africa and hiking this mountain and spreading the message even at such a young age. I thought it was such a cool story. But a little bit of background on Larry. We talked about off air about how, or actually we talked about my friend Manny just a few minutes ago about their Alaskan story and how you come up and either you love it or you hate it. But Larry pretty much told his wife and kids, hey, we're going to pack up the truck and we're going to move to Alaska and we're going to do whatever it takes to run this crazy race called the Iditarod. And he moved his practice. We talked about he was an oncology doctor. He was a pretty successful a doctor. I believe it was in Minnesota, if I remember correctly. And yeah, he pretty much packed up the truck and moved and started training for Iditarod. He worked for a couple of the big name kennels to get some experience and to get his qualifiers done. He ended up finishing his rookie race and did pretty well at that. And then of course he has this foundation that he is a part of, where they climb all of these mountain peaks, and he has folks on his team that I believe have climbed all the highest mountains in the world, and they do this to spread the message for cancer awareness and, you know, for his patients. And as you mentioned, he does carry these prayer flags for all of his patients on whatever endeavor he does, whether it's Iditarod and he carries them over the 1,000-mile trail to Nome, or he's climbing a mountain, whether it be Kilimanjaro or the names are mistaking me right now, Rainier and all of those others all over the world. And now here he is going to attempt to climb the tallest mountain in the world in just a few months after doing a grueling race like Iditarod. That's an amazing thing. What do you think about that, just as, you know, somebody that runs, you know, mountain marathon, where you're running up and down mountains, which obviously doesn't compare to something as crazy as climbing Everest, but also holding down a full-time job with a family as a doctor, but also Iditarod and everything else. What do you think about this guy?
Well, it just makes you look at your day and say, what else can I fit into it? You know, I mean, sometimes, you know, we have trouble saying, how do I juggle this? Or, get these smaller tasks done. And then you see someone do that, and sometimes you're like, oh my gosh, they must be immortal. Like, how do they do that? But I know we've talked before about goals and breaking things down. And, you know, I think it just shows that if somebody wants to do something, you know, it's all about if you believe it, then you can do it. If you lay the foundation and, you know, he has a lot of energy, and it's just super inspiring. I mean, wow.
Yeah. I'm reading through his article right now. He finished Iditarod late last month. I guess it was mid-March, excuse me. And then he pretty much jumped on a plane just a couple of weeks later and flew over to Nepal. And he plans to be the first person to reach the mountain peak and finish Iditarod Trail Race in the same year. I know another person that did that real recently, Cindy Abbott. She is my neighbor up here in Willow, and she has ran Iditarod, I think, three times now, or at least finished three times. I think ran five times, but she is also a recent Everest summiter, or whatever the proper word would be to that. But it is an amazing thing to do as well. It says here in the article on Alaska Dispatch that the collection of his flags started back in 2010 when Doherty and another radiation oncologist, Brandon Fisher, started their nonprofit Radiating Hope. The two climbed mountains together and were looking for a way to mingle their hobby with their profession. And that's when they decided to raise money to improve cancer care across the globe, asking for donation to purchase refurbished radiation equipment to developing countries, including Guatemala, Ghana, and Kenya. That was why he was traveling over to Kilimanjaro. He was going to set up some of this equipment. Now the interview is coming back to me. But I guess he decided to climb a mountain while he was there with his son. This guy does not have any way to sleep, does he? He's doing everything he can, not only to spread his message, but also conquer these amazing feats.
Right. And, you know, it seems like you hear these stories where people, they have something that they love. I mean, obviously, he loves adventure. He loves taking on a huge challenge. He loves climbing these mountains. And then it seems like at some point in people's lives when they love it so much and then they want to share it with others. And then how do I want more out of this than just loving it. I want to give back. I want to inspire others. And obviously with this Radiating Hope, I mean, that's what he is doing. And, you know, when you were talking, Robert, it made me think about, you know, how some people just have that, or some people need a little nudge to gain that, to believe in it. But we have a book at our house that my husband's actually been reading recently. It's called Call of the American Wild. And there's a quote in it that has just stuck in my head. I actually posted it on the Be Alive page a while back, but it's a quick quote and I just wanted to read it. And it's by a man named George Moore. I don't know who he is, but it says, "Reality can destroy the dream. Why shouldn't the dream destroy reality?" And I think that just radiates with me, because so many times we get stuck in the everyday rut or feeling like we have to do this or I should do that, instead of taking a step back and saying, yeah, we have to cover everybody's basic needs, but what do I really want to do with all these trips around the sun that I have? And, you know, I mean, does that radiate with you too?
It does. And, you know, you find inspiration in the littlest things. And I think, you know, a lot of people find inspiration from their families. Some people find it through books and movies. And, you know, they watch things or read things and they think, wow, I should be able to do this too. And they go out and conquer their fears and chase their dreams. But it's so interesting how everybody's journey is a little bit different, but we always have those common goals of doing things that make us uncomfortable. And I think that's what really separates folks that really want to get out there and live life versus those that, you know, kind of sit back and, you know, kind of are curmudgeon or complain all the time or you know, don't have a zest for life like some of these adventurous folks. And not to put those guys down at all, but you, like you said, you only live a little while and you only go around those trips around the sun a few times. And I'm all for it, and I know you are as well. Get out there and live life, be alive, and do what you got to do to make your life spectacular.
Right. And it's scary. It's scary to do things out of the box. I mean, you know, but the But if we don't push ourselves, and I need this, I know you need this, we all need these reminders, and we get them from all different places, you know, in the unexpected times, just like reading, you know, you open the newspaper and you read about Larry Doherty and you're like, oh my gosh, wow. Or, and it just makes you start to think, what could I be doing? Am I in love with what I'm doing every day? And I think we can get stagnant. So yeah, we need these stories. And a little bit more about Larry. I mean, I don't even know how long it takes to climb Mount Everest. I mean, do you know how long he's going to be there? It's probably in one of these articles that will tell us, but what else do you know?
You know, just from my experience in talking to both Larry and Cindy Abbott when she was on Mushing Radio, I know that you have to go up in stages, and it takes quite a while because you have to adjust your body as you go up. And I'm reading through this article. It says over 100 people are going on this trek, and I believe it says something about out of this 100, only 17 of them are planning on the summit, is if I'm reading it correctly. So what they have to do, Casey, is they have to go up to what they call base camps, and they stay there for several days, and you know, they prepare themselves and their bodies to make the next trek up. But I remember talking to Cindy. She said that going up to the summit of Mount Everest, as you go, your body is literally dying because of the lack of oxygen and all of that that's going on. And she said that when she got to the summit, she was only there for just a few minutes. She got enough time to, you know, take a picture or two and then start the trek down. And you go down quite a bit faster than you go up, but it's still a multi-day process to get down to reacclimate your body to do so. But, yeah, she said there's only just a little bit of time that you can stay up there because you are literally just so sick from being up there at that altitude for so long.
Wow. Wow. That is, I just can't even imagine that experience. I mean, I know what it's like to stand on these mountains here in the Chugach. And, you know, I mean, we're talking what I think maybe one goes up to 5,000, a little over 5,000 feet. I mean, much, much lower than Mount Everest. And it's so grand, and you just get this view of the world around you. And so I can't imagine standing up on Mount Everest. And actually, that reminds me of another quote. It's like quote day. I won't read the quote because it's kind of long, but I posted this one on BeLive just a couple days ago too. And it talks about why do you climb to the summit? You know, why do you go to the top of a mountain when you know you just have to come down? And like Cindy said, she's just up there for just a few seconds, a few minutes. But what this quote is saying is that you go up because then you see something different. You have this experience, and now you know what's up there. And then when you come down, you can't see that anymore, but you know. And since you know that, you will live your life differently in the lower regions, you know, in an area where you didn't know what it was like before. And, I mean, even if you never climb a mountain, I think that that quote talks to just our experiences in life and how if you surround yourself with things, you seek out to see, you know, more than just the everyday experience, then you're a happier person, I think.
You know, I agree with you, and I think you made a very important statement there when you said, even if you don't climb a mountain, and I was going to mention that when we were talking a few seconds ago about conquering these feats, whatever they are, I think it's important to note that you don't have to go out and do something extreme. You don't have to go out and climb mountains. You don't have to go out and run a marathon. You don't have to go out and, you know, whatever these extreme adventures are. You may see them on TV or on YouTube or whatever, and they may inspire you to do something, but you may find perfect solace in a much less extreme adventure, whatever that could be. It could be just a walk in the park along the hiking trails or viewing wildlife or taking your kids camping or whatever. Just anything it is to take you out of your normal everyday element into something else is how I hope to be able to speak on this. That's the Be Alive message, to go out and inspire others by doing great things, no matter what they are, but they don't necessarily have to be extreme, do they?
No, and that is exactly the message. It's, you know, looking and finding the extraordinary in the ordinary, because it really is there. And, you know, maybe I'm kind of goofy, but I get up every day, and it doesn't mean I'm not tired, and it doesn't mean that I'm like, oh, my gosh, I could use a little more sleep. But I really do get up and think, okay, today really could be, like, the best day of my life, you know? I mean, it could be. We just don't know. And you have that attitude and put that energy into what's around you, you know? And you don't even have to be outside to be alive, you know? You just have to be, you know, excitable, be, well, maybe that's not even the right word. You don't have to be jumping around crazy, you know, but you just have to be able to put that positive energy into what you're doing and the people around you. And, you know, I like to be around people who have a positive attitude, and it's catching. And I think that that leads to, when people get confidence in themselves, they, like we're talking about, step outside of your box, you try new things, you realize there's, you have new skills. I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Exactly, Robert.
Yeah, you know, let's go full circle back to talking about spring. I have seen on your page the last few days that you guys are really getting active. You know, I mentioned I am welcoming a nice little reprieve here since our busy winter, but you guys are really stepping out. You guys are going hiking, you and your family with your kids, and you know, exploring new places. I know you were, what were you, down near Skelak Lake this weekend? Tell us about some of your adventures that you've done already in this beautiful weather, and what's to come for you and your family as we head into summer.
Well, we're always so funny because we get so excited to do everything that then we're like, ah, it's hard to pick. But yes, right now, you know, the snow is melting. The trails are opening up. It's easier to hike in places. But yeah, we went down by Skelak Lake this weekend. It was gorgeous weather. You know, the lake's still frozen. There's a nice little drive. You can just do a loop down there on Skelak. I think it's Skelak Loop Road. And I didn't realize there's so many hiking trails down there. We didn't get off and hike on some of them, but there are a lot of trails. If you just wanted to go and, you know, camp for the weekend, you could hit a lot of trails right on that loop. Last night we drove down to Bird Ridge, and we only hiked probably a quarter of the mountain. The trail's pretty good. There's some ice and snow that made it kind of fun to kind of ski down. I mean, not with skis, but, you know, with our feet, and slip and slide a little bit. But we were the only ones on the mountain. It was getting near evening, but we just sat there thinking, wow, we're so close to town, and we're the only ones here. And our kids do good. We have to watch them. You know, they're 6 and 8, and they don't understand that they could slip, you know, slip off the edge with the snow. So mom and dad have to be very vigilant, you know, keeping them in safe spots. But that's fun. And, yeah, you're not running dogs anymore, right? You guys are done for the season? No more dog running?
We're never done. We'll get the bikes out and the scooters and that sort of stuff, because we absolutely love just to take out the new dogs and, you know, train up the dogs that we hope to be leaders and that sort of thing. So if it's cool enough, we'll be out there running the dogs. Otherwise, they'll be able to relax a little bit and get fat and happy, as we call it. But I have one last question for you. We have just a couple of minutes before the end of our show. And since we're kind of talking about spring, I want to know what your favorite thing to do in the spring in Alaska, maybe you individually or you and your husband individually, and what do your kids find the most fun to do in Alaska in the spring?
In the spring. Well, other than finding all the treasures that we didn't know were left in our yard, you know, as the snow is melting, we're like, oh, so that's kind of a fun game to go out and see what we find. But this, you may not know this about me, but I am a moose antler nut. Like, I love to go out and find moose antlers, shed moose antlers. And I can't tell you anyone that I find them, because those are, you know, people keep those spots secret, right? But I love to find them I love to find them when the antlers start falling off earlier in the year, and then now the snow is melting, and so I literally have dreams about finding antlers. So that's my favorite thing to do.
Wow. And what about your kids? What's their favorite?
Well, they are very excited to hike. They wanted to go to the top of Bird Ridge last night, and we had to tell them we're not going that far. But yeah, they're excited to hike. They're excited to get their bikes out and start riding now that the streets are drier. My husband, he's excited to, he wants to do some more running, and he's excited to hike too. And of course, we are we are a few months from this, but fishing is already on everyone's brain because we have eaten through so much salmon, and we need to replenish our canned salmon. So those are just a few things we're looking forward to.
Well, real quickly, if you don't mind running over for a minute or two, Casey, we stumbled on something. A friend of ours, Dave Shear, I know it's a mutual friend. You know Dave as well. He told me about geocaching. And Michelle and I are going to get involved with that a little bit this summer when we go out and do our annual roller coaster tour. We're heading down south to do that in July. But have you guys ever done any geocaching with the kids where you take the GPS out and look for these little treasures? It's truly a treasure hunt, and you find these little treasure trinkets and things, and the goal is to find one and leave one. And I think that's a cool, I wish my kids were younger because I would get them involved with this, because I know you guys love to hike and you know, trek through the woods and that stuff. Have you ever gotten involved with that at all?
Oh yeah, geocaching is a fun thing, and it is a treasure hunt, and it's fun. It's fun for people of all ages. We got into it a couple years ago. We were doing it quite a bit, so we've hit a lot of the local ones. Probably new ones have popped up, so we should, you know, check that. You can actually on your phone, you can sign up for a free service. You can pay for, I think, $30 for a premium, but the free service, you know, it'll tell you what geocaches are in your area. Excuse me. You can go out, and then once you find it, you log it in on your phone. You can also do it with a handheld GPS too, but it's kind of fun. And then if you get to one that's kind of hard and you're having trouble, you can get some hints, or you can read what other people have said. But what's interesting about geocaches is there is one on the top of O'Malley Peak. That's here in the Chugach Mountains here near Anchorage. And there was a Be Alive hat put in that geocache. And I don't know if it's still there, but yeah, so that's it's a pretty cool hike. It's not necessarily an easy hike, but it's a good one. And so that hat may still be waiting up there. But I do have to tell you real quick that my father, who, you know, he's in his 60s, and we went to Michigan, and we were like, hey, you got to go geocaching with us. So I had him out there, and he was just grumbling, and he's like, Casey, what are we doing? You know, and he's seen me look all over in these bushes, and he was not having a good time. He thought I was ridiculous. And then he started looking, and he's the one who found the geocache, and instantly he was hooked. He was like a little kid, and so he's been geocaching ever since.
Excellent, for sure. You know, the reason I mentioned that, not only is it a fun activity for the whole family, like you mentioned, of whatever age, we talked about it doesn't need to be this extreme adventure. You can do this right in the city, no matter where you live. They have these things all over the world. And, yeah, we have that free service on our phone or whatever the app is called, and it shows us all the locations. But it's also a way to get you and the kids outside. You know, nowadays so many people spend so much time inside on their computers, on their TVs, on the couch, whatever. And this is an activity that you can do in the spring as soon as the snow melts here in Alaska, or just about any time, you know, in the lower 48 where there's good weather. It's something you can get out that's moderately active, but still fun for just about everyone, isn't it?
Right. No, it's a great thing. Geocaching is a good time, and you can make, once you get into it, you can make your own geocaches, and some of them are very elaborate. Some of them have multiple stages. You know, you find one, and then you have to go find the next to complete the actual cache. And some of them are just like a tiny little, I mean, people get really creative, so that's good. And hey, I also just want to mention, you know what, my kids, you were asking what they're enjoying doing right now. Okay, for days, since everything's melting, they have been mining our driveway, and they have been making little trenches so that the water can run down and go, you know, out into the street. And I think we have watched a little too much Gold Rush, which is I know it's a TV show. That's about the only television show we actually watch. We buy the series every year. And I hear my 6-year-old, you know, he wakes up in the morning, he goes out to check on his little trenches he's built, and he's like, Mama, the headwaters have frozen up, you know. I'm like, oh my gosh. And then he comes in and he says, we're gonna start on the creek cut. And he says, I have to design it. So he writes, you know, he gets down, he writes down what his creek cut design is. And but you know what? That's the whole thing of finding, you know, they're out in the driveway and they're having hours of entertainment. And hopefully they grow to be better people because of it, you know?
I think so. You know, you guys are great teachers. You go out of your way to give them adventures. And, you know, it's so much fun to be able to spend that time with the younger generation. You know, our kids are moved out and in college and doing their own things. But, you know, hopefully we can inspire the next generation, whoever they are, whether you're listening or you have kids of your own. Get out there and, you know, it sounds cliche, but get out there and be alive. Have fun, enjoy the spring, get ready for summer, but could only last a little while, as you mentioned in that quote that's sort of at the top of the show. We only have so many trips around the sun, and if you sit around and wait for it, it may be a little too late. So I want to make sure that our message today is to get out there and enjoy life, whether it's getting out and going on a walk or digging trenches in the driveway or training for your next triathlon or climbing mountains or running sled dogs or whatever it is. Just get out there and enjoy the day, because we're only here once, and we want to make it special, don't we, Casey?
Exactly. It's been so good to talk to you, Robert. I've missed this show, so it's great to be back, and thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you, and we'll be back next week, and we'll make sure we pass along the links over on the Be Alive page. Make sure you check it out. It's the green and white logo that you see right here as you're listening. It's the Be Alive logo. Just go out. What is it? Be Alive Alaska. What is it? One more time, Casey.
It's if you get on Facebook, I think you can type in Go Be Alive. So G-O Be Alive.
Go Be Alive.
And it should come up. And that's about it.
Excellent, for sure. Well, Casey, it was my pleasure. I'm glad we're back on the air, and we'll see you guys next week, okay?
All right, see you later.
Thank you. On behalf of my co-host, Casey Randall, this is Robert Forto for Try Alive. We'll talk to you guys next time. Goodbye.